when I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep counting my blessings.
Over the course of 9 years, my father, Stephen, son of Robert and Lillian, memorized over 90 quotes that he recites daily. In each podcast, a quote is randomly picked out of a hat and then discussed. Many of the quotes relate in one way or the other to the Dreams course that Stephen is currently teaching. Welcome back to the Dreams course podcast. I'm Michael, son of Stephen and Judith.
I'm Stephen, son of Robert and Lillian.
Hey, Dad. So it's the end of 2022. Happy New Year, or almost Happy New Year.
Yeah, New Year's Eve.
I got an idea to start the conversation. I'll pretend that I work at McDonald's. You come in, you order a Big Mac. You're getting one last Big Mac to end out the year.
Yep.
And then you drop some sort of spiritual line to start a conversation.
Like what?
A quote, a spiritual quote that sort of looking back on the year, you would want to say.
I wonder if we should start over.
Okay, ready? Hi, welcome to McDonald's. What can I get you?
The world doesn't come into being until you're born into a body. The experience of the world is coming through the perception of being in a body. It's why it's so difficult to reach your spiritual self, because the body is so powerful. I mean, the body comes in and then suddenly this world is created and you have parents and school and girlfriends and love affairs and work and all this. And the spirit gets crushed by the experience of being in the world. But if you work that all the way out, it would be there is no world when you're dead. There's no world. It's only a world when you're alive and can experience it. It doesn't exist outside as an objective reality. And they'll go further, that the world is in you. You're not in the world. All you're doing is taking the ear, nose, senses, all the senses, and experiencing the world. But if you take away that person in a body, there's no world. So what's really interesting, coming back to the spiritual talk, what makes the spiritual journey so difficult is because being in a body is so exciting and difficult. And so it's easy to lose your track of why you're here. The question you said, why are you here? Which I believe is the same. What is my purpose? What is the lesson I'm meant to learn? What am I learning so I can work on it? But when you're in the body and your consciousness is body oriented, your consciousness is about what am I going to eat and who's my girlfriend and what's the job going to be like and where am I going on a golf vacation? And it's that. That's what it is. It's that level of consciousness. Because it's so powerful, it's addictive. Being alive is addictive. And Nazar Gadatta would be saying, yeah, and you have to lose that addiction. Otherwise, you're just suffering. Why? Because the body's going to fade on you. You're beautiful at 25 or 35, then take a look at you at 75. You know, you have to overcome the fact that you're in a body and experiencing the world, and realize to elevate your consciousness is to realize, yes, you're in a body, but it begins with you as a spirit. And that's the trail we're trying to get back to all of our lives.
Yeah, I try to think about being old and dying all the time, I mean, on some non-morbid way, because maybe it's through witnessing you and mom getting older, but it's this sort of crushing, inevitable truth that everything will start to decay. But that's
it's not
have to be sad. It's just Well, but it doesn't have to be.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be sad, but it's what is. You change.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, those guys, the gurus, their response, and I'm not saying I agree with all of it, but their response is, don't get attached to the world.
Well, it's so funny because I actually have the opposite. As your child, as you and mom are getting older, I just want you guys to love the world. That's all I want for you guys is to actively have loved and continue to love the world. And wanting to see that in your day-to-day being, you know? And maybe it's easier to imagine being able to actively love the world when you have a younger body, but it doesn't have to be defined by love doesn't have to be defined by the body. It can be defined by sort of attitude and spirit and a sense of just sort of emotional energy for being alive every day.
It's such an interesting thing because our perspectives are so different because of where we're at in our lives, because I've totally believed in that. And now I feel I've done a lot of things I really love doing. And the journey that I'm doing now isn't physical, it's more spiritual. So I don't care about traveling as much. I don't care about certain things as much. Not because they're not great, they are. But I'm aware of my time and what's important to me. And so the daily rituals that I'm doing that may look boring to everyone else are deeply satisfying to me because I don't need to be on a plane going to the Caribbean or going somewhere to enjoy myself. There are things that I used to be caring about so much, I just don't care about as much. And I think that's a function of age. I don't think your truth is completely right for you, and my truth is completely right. It's not trying to be something. It's accepting at the stage you're in. You know, I'm not sitting back with a lot of regrets that I didn't do this or that. I've done a lot of things and wonderful things, and the world is still incredibly beautiful. But my interest in the world, I'm losing interest in it a little bit every year, to be honest, just being totally honest about it. I'm much more concerned about my spirit than I am those other issues.
But what about the gurus that would say that there is no division between your spirit and the spirit of the planet? Or that there is no sort of separation between the conscious energy of your self and of your neighbor's self, for example? Like, and I don't know if... I don't know what the best approach is. I do know that other people or these other places in the world provide an opportunity to sort of contrast and compare consciousness.
Let me give an example going along with that. I'd much rather do a guided mushroom trip than I would do fly to Jamaica. That would be like climbing the mountain for me, because if the experience, and I've been in the process, that's what I plan to do in the early part of the year, And I've now a meeting with someone next week, and you know, you have to go through a whole thing with them, go to the place where you're going to do it and all that. And but I'm really excited because I'm kind of fearful, and I realize I'm excited. And the reason I'm excited is because I'm going to approach it as a spiritual journey. This is going to give me more awareness already than I already have. It's, in other words, growing, which I would not do by going to Jamaica, as beautiful as Jamaica is. I'm much more interested in the journey of the self than I am of the journey of my personality. But I would be shocked if you felt the same way. That's what I mean by perception. You're at a certain time and place at a certain age in your life, and therefore your consciousness is surrounded with those facts. But what are you going to be like when you're my age? Will you still be interested in all the things you've done? Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe you're more interested in other things. So I've gone much more from a materialistic involvement in the world and much more interested in the internal, which is really at the heart of the course.
So Leonard Cohen, there's a new documentary out on Leonard Cohen, and he, from like 60 to 70, kind of dropped out of the music scene, and he went to a monastery up in near Mount Baldy outside Los Angeles. And he was up there for, I think, 7 years or something like that.
Wow, God.
Yeah, and then was kind of living a fully monastic lifestyle. And then he eventually knew it was time to come off the mountain, that he had sort of reached a point where he needed to return. And then he was incredibly prolific. Late in life, multiple albums, and some of his sort of like wisest lyrics. And he was being interviewed by someone, and they said, "Hey, look, you know, you went to this monastery to sort of, you know, try to answer a bunch of these spiritual questions, and you seem pretty, you know, at peace, like in almost enlightened kind of. Did you find the answers that you were looking for on the mountain while you were in the monastery?" And he said, "It's not so much that I found the answers to the questions, it's more that the questions themselves dissolved."
That's great.
And that's, you know, I'll write that down in my notebook, because that's how I want to be eventually. That's where I want to get to. I want to get to a point where this sort of, you know, jigsaw puzzle of life doesn't need to be fulfilled in a way where there's all these pieces and they all fit together. You know, it's just, I want to get to a point where it goes, you know, isn't it cool that there's pieces?
That's so you. But what you'll find out when you get older is, indeed, at the time, it was just a piece of the puzzle, right? But as you go along and get further along the journey, if you keep following your bliss, Joseph Campbell, if you keep following what motivates you, what your heart wants to do, eventually, oddly, strangely, all the pieces of the puzzle come together. That's what's happened for me in teaching the course. It's like Siddhartha left his family to be an ascetic, and he, you know, he did all the things, not eating much, begging for food, got, you know, out in the elements. And then one day he goes, "This ain't working, I'm not learning anymore. So I'm going to go into the world." And suddenly he noticed the trees were all green, and the beauty of this world and the sexiness of this world is just around us all the time. And he went out and he lived it, made money, got a courtesan that he fell in love with, had a child with her. And then he got bored of that. He got bored of being in the materialistic world. He did it. Is that all there is? And so he did the ascetic, he did the physical, the materialistic. And it's not only until he takes a job with Vasudeva on the river that he realizes the true enlightened spot is in between those experiences, in the middle. And that's kind of where I feel like what we're doing, like I'm now at the, I'm on the river. I'm not Vasudeva, but I'm living on the river. I'm in a van down by the river with Vasudeva, not Chris Farley. I'm down by the river. Whereas you might still be coming into, you know, another phase of his trip. You're still part of the world and engaged in the world. I mean, what gets me about, I like about this conversation is how we both can be completely different views of reality because we're at different stages of our lives. And both are true.
I think the irony of it, though, is that we're dancing around the same thing that's directly in front of us.
What is that?
The river.
Oh, the river, yeah.
I mean,
the river that it's always changing but never changing.
Yes, it's always the same and never the same.
I think my attachment to life is very strong. I will have a hard time giving in to death. I know that because I've loved so much of being here. It's just so incredible. And so I'm kind of working on that. Because if you're totally attached, you know, it's very painful to leave it.
Well, this is where the reincarnation thing comes in quite handy.
How?
It takes a lot of the pressure off of sort of buttoning everything up in this one lifetime.
Hmm.
It allows a sort of some breathing room and softness and less judgmental self-critique. For not figuring everything out, you know.
Yeah, it's, I like that.
So it's not an excuse to not get around to. If you know something, that there's something to work on, then fucking work on it, and change. Like put in your best effort. Always do your best.
Yeah.
Can you answer? Like, that's. That's the question. If, okay, on your deathbed, someone goes, did you do your best? And I want to be able to say, mostly.
I think that's right.
Like, I made an effort to move the needle. Not just for myself, but for other people as well.
If your life, and as you're moving, in fact, everything you just said about the reincarnation, you don't have to figure it out this life. That's right, but or the river, the changes that doesn't change. The part that changes is the material body part of our lives. What doesn't change is the spirit that you are. That's eternal.
Well, the whole spirit is.
The whole spirit, but you are that. What else can you be? You can't create energy. You can't create energy. You can't destroy energy.
Oh, what Ryder used to always say that. Ryder would say energy can't be created or destroyed.
That's right. So you're transforming in death from the material, and people have described that. A friend told me about they were in the room when someone died, and it felt like something left the room.
The doctor? so then what's your mantra or quote for this coming year then?
Joseph Campbell's one, which is the privilege of a lifetime is being who you are, and the goal of the hero's trip is to reach down.
It's the jewel point.
Yeah, the jewel point, and open the psyche. And open the psyche and open the psyche until finally you are aware of Buddha consciousness or Christ. That's the story. That's the trip. So for me, it's just keep opening my psyche, whether I do that through a mushroom trip or do that through reading or meditating. Keep opening, keep the doors opening. Don't shut down your heart. Don't shut down your mind. Stay open. And that's the journey. And it's the same quote I would have, I'll have next year. Because the consciousness is not ending. There's not an end point to consciousness.
That's right.
On the group text, someone was talking about the dark and light. And I went, the dark and light is the dark and light is basically the existential reality of being a human being, and how the dark and light within you interacts will depend on how your will determine how your life works out. There's fierce, horrible brutality, and there's incredible love. And they're the, like, somehow you want to be in the middle, you know?
Of course, yeah, the middle way, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, because, you know, bad shit happens or feels like bad shit, and wonderful things happen, and it's, you know, you're always talking about that, the rhythm, the down, then up, down, then up, down, then up. And that's the reality of being a human. The question at the end of your life is, coming back to your quote, has there been more light in your life than dark? And for me, the answer is yes.
And it's even more that it's like, did you find the light in your life more than the dark? Because they're both there.
They're both there.
It's like you're saying the lightness and dark, whether you believe in the duality or not and you want to try to rise above it, whatever. But the light and the dark are there. Those exist for a reason. But you kind of have a choice in any day to steer yourself back towards the light, to get into the path of the beam.
And the beam is in the middle of the ocean. It's
sick.
Not
sick. I like this. Keep on going. I like
it's
this.
It's not one-sided. It is the middle. It is the balance of dark and light. We both know people where the dark has overwhelmed them, and that's been their life, the darkness. And we know people who don't even acknowledge the darkness. But the people that are the people that I look to are the people that know about the darkness, have to come to terms with their own weakness and flaws, and still find a way to love themselves. And I'm more interested in people that are I think the course draws people that are aware of their dark and their light, and not just their light. Most people you can't have this conversation
with. Oh shit. My battery might die. No, I'm going to stop. So, I just started a second track, so the first one's saved. But
all right, I'll find it. There are a couple things I just wanted to correct that I said because I kind of stumbled over it. But there are a couple of quotes that I'm just looking at now that I'm in the process of memorizing. Here's one from Jung. No tree, it is said, can grow to heaven unless its roots reach down to hell.
Yeah, that's great. I love that too.
And that's the recognition of the dark within you.
Yeah, don't be afraid of the dark, you know.
Yeah, right. You have to have the dark. That's your human equation. If you pretend you don't have one, it's your life will be totally out of balance. It will be totally. You have to recognize the darkness in you, but don't succumb to it. That's being on the surfboard. That's how you stay in the middle.
Yes.
You stay in rhythm with the universe and don't get addicted to the darkness. And don't get addicted. You have to recognize both. We are so fucking flawed. And yet you have to overcome that and to love yourself and also to recognize that's the yin and yang, the dark and the light. That is how life operates.
You got to love yourself. You got to hate yourself. You got to love hating yourself. You got to hate loving yourself.
All
you
got to
touch it all.
But at the end, you accept it. You have to accept it. You can't go, oh, I hate being that way. And You are that way, but it doesn't mean you have to stay that way.
I'm trying to get me too'd by the universe. I want the universe to say, you touched me inappropriately. And I said, damn right. I touched you. I touched it all. I touched light. I touched dark. So what am I going to get canceled? Die? Guess what? I was already expecting that. You can't cancel something that is already dead. Sorry, I have no idea. Where's this rant coming from?
Yeah, but it's what Nyser Gotta says all the time.
I'm trying to get canceled by the universe for inappropriately touching light and dark.
Except the universe won't cancel. That's the problem. That's what's so great. They'll only cancel you when you don't recognize it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go, I see the dark, I see the light, and you're trying to maneuver your way in the middle, then you get good messages from the universe. But if you try to go one way or the other extreme, forget about it.
I touched masculine and feminine.
Sure, animus and anima, pal.
I touched sub and dom. I touched it all. That's a good headstone.
Yeah.
Here lies Mikey. He touched it all.
Yep. He touched it all.
Sorry.
And himself too much. And
well, that's the real challenge. That's the real challenge, you know, because it's so rewarding. So how do you, in the process of trying to investigate the universe, how do you not get distracted by just touching yourself?
The universe is impossible because it's just, the whole universe is sex.
Hell yeah.
Sex
and death.
Yeah, sex and death. But the reason we get so addicted to life, we go, this is really out there. I mean, falling in love, beautiful sunsets, children.
Life addict is a good phrase.
Yeah, life addict. I like that. I'm a life addict. I'm a life addict, and which means that if you stay in that condition, you will be in great pain leaving this.
What if you say, but you need death addict too in there?
Death addict. What is a death addict?
Someone that is just addicted to killing the parts of the self that are no longer functioning for the process, I guess, maybe, or something. Or just maybe someone who's addicted to accepting that death is real. Death is a part of life. Like, you can't be a life addict if you're not a death addict.
Absolutely. Otherwise, the truth is, if you ask most people, they're just terrified.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how they got here. They've been given an identity. They've forgotten that they're spirits, and they're trying to figure it out. And they know at some point they're going to die.
Spiritually frozen.
I mean, you don't ever see two deer out in the, you know, on the lawn saying, what's the point of even being on the planet? And the other deer goes, you know, please don't ask these questions. No, but I'm serious. Why should I be a deer? Why aren't I a dog? They're just being in deerness. But we've been given consciousness. And apparently, the more consciousness we can obtain, the closer to our mission, being here. You know,
See, this is why I like tennis. Because if you can hit a good forehand, then you could hit a good consciousness.
Well, it's like riding the wave. In fact, I've been hitting, ever since you taught Greta with a tennis racket to hit tennis balls.
Yeah.
I've been doing that at the park. And I also, while I was just messing around, I suddenly understood how to hit a forehand shot, which I never had. And so I can't wait to go out when the weather is a little bit better. I'm going to hit against the boards to work on my forehand. And for the first time in a long time, I actually have an interest in playing, you know, a little bit. I mean, I can't move like I could move, but I could hit some shots.
So many good sports metaphors. Like, in order to hit a good forehand, you need to have a good grip, right? And so almost like in order to hit a good forehand, like in the metaphor of life, you got to have a good grip on the racket of life. Which means like you're holding yourself in the right posture. You're not, it's not too tight, it's not too loose. It's, you know, you could extend. I feel like I'm tripping on mushrooms. I'm just dead sober right now.
Well, that's what happens. You know, that's what happens when you get into these conversations.
Get a couple life addicts around a coffee table. Next thing you know, you're doing tennis metaphors about how to be a good person.
Yeah. Well, it's also what you said about do everything with grace. You know, when you're coming down the wave, when you're skiing, we used to do that. Skiing, when you could take long runs and be able to do subtle turns. You're on the rhythm. You're in the vortex.
Yeah. The vortex, dude. Oh my God. Now we're getting into some good stuff. But all right, well.
Yeah.
Anyway, we should.
What
I guess
are you hoping for?
It's been a long time. It's been a long time, but we should. What am I hoping for the new year? 2023?
Yeah.
2023. Yeah. This is what my goal is. To keep opening my heart without caring about the ultimate outcome. To not be concerned with winning or losing. The game of opening the heart.
Wow. That's a great one. I like the way you put that. Not being concerned with the outcome. Yeah, it's not being concerned with the outcome.
Like the flower that opens itself up to a potential pollinator. Right? But what if nothing comes by? Yeah. Does it matter? Is that a life?
No.
Is that a life lost? No, it's still fucking beautiful that it tried. That flower that flower did its best.
That's right.
That flower did its best.
Wow. Yeah, and it was being a flower. It was doing what it was meant to do.
Yeah. Dude, what if we're the flowers of consciousness?
I have no idea what that means.
It means that we're like the fruit body of consciousness. Like the human being is the flower of consciousness.
It's a flower of, right.
But maybe everything is the flower of consciousness. Like maybe flowers themselves are the flower of consciousness. But humans, like, our job is to sort of reach down, like you said, all the way to hell and to heaven and just be open.
That's why Jung almost went insane when he wrote the Red Book, because he went into hell and came out. And you cannot be individuated until you recognize the darkness and the light within you. And then your life will be determined about how the light and dark interact. And I think generally we're fighting for the light to win. They have to exist, but the darkness can snuff out.
51%, 49%.
What is?
No, I'm joking. Just light versus dark.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'll probably be something like that.
No, yeah, yeah.
You know.
All right. We should go before it all dies.
Yeah, okay. All good. This welcome and to everybody. This will be coming out, I think, on near New Year's Eve. So wish everyone who's listening a growthful year, you know, keep growing. if you're not growing, you're dying. That's the reality.
Yeah.
But I wish, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah.
It means the death could take 50 years, but you're dying because you gave up. You gave in. You gave into the dark. You lost.
Yes. Be Columbo.
So.
Be Columbo.
Yeah.
There's just one more thing. One more thing.
What?
No, that's Columbo.
What?
Like in the waiting room of life. Well,
yeah.
There's actually just one more thing.
There's one more thing. And all along, he knows where it's headed.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. All right. Great fun. Talk soon and all that.
Okay. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holidays.
Happy holy
whatever.
Days.
Make every day sacred.
Oh, shit. Christ is born every day. It's his birthday again. It's her birthday again.
Again. It's not one day. It's every day. You know, my granddaughter discovered at 10 years old, funny, that Santa doesn't exist. And I thought, we live in a world where we're told that Santa Claus exists, that there's magic.
You were lied to about Santa Claus.
And then one day when we're about 10 or 11, we're told, just
kidding. That part is
and then you feel, well, then I guess there's no magic in the world. The whole course, the whole fucking thing is magic.
Other magic in the world.
By the river's dark, I wandered on. I lived my life in Babylon.
The Dreams Course is a one-on-one program done through phone calls with Stephen, using dream interpretation and reading Hermann Hesse's Damien. For more information about the Dreams Course, email Stephen at csmokes@optonline.net. SEASMOKE at optonline.net. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe to the show and come back for the next episode. We have many, many more quotes to get to. Thank you.